We didn't record the first segment for the archives. I was too busy and too excited that my friend was here visiting. We got Jared Waltz in the studio today. Say hello, Jared Waltz.
Hey, everybody.
And, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. People can call in if they want. The call-in number is 307-215-5171. I want to talk a little more about this. Suspects wielding hammers and batons attacked diners at Tinley Park restaurant. I think Tinley Park was Obama's old neighborhood. It's kind of fancy neighborhood.
The picture of the restaurant looks like it's a nice place.
Yeah. Yeah. So somebody fought back.
One of the restaurant workers, a guy in the kitchen, heard there was a fight and ran out and says he tackled one of the attackers, but then got ganged up on and they got away.
Interesting. I would think that a kitchen is full of weapons, you know, knives and bigger things, blunt objects, everything.
Any manner of things. Yeah. It's interesting that the guy even ran out. Maybe just the emotion of the moment. He was more concerned with doing something, helping, than grabbing a tool.
Good for him. Yeah.
Does Chicago have a Good Citizens Award?
I don't know. I'm sure they do, and they probably pay for it with stolen tax money. So I saw some good movies recently. Have you ever seen any of these movies? China Syndrome, JFK, or Gattaca, or Black Metal Satanica?
I've seen one of those four.
JFK.
Gattaca.
Really?
Yeah. Ethan Hawke, Uma Thurman.
Yeah. It was the other day on some cable channel we get, they had like, you know, post-apocalyptic one man against the world kind of movie sequence. They had like eight of them in a row. And they had JFK and they had Gattaca. What did you think of Gattaca?
It was creepy. I admired the main character's dedication. He knew what he wanted and he was willing to sacrifice to get it.
I thought it was creepy. I didn't love the movie. I actually didn't watch it all the way to the end. I watched it to where he goes up.
That's pretty close to the end, isn't it?
Is it? We don't want to give it away as a spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. But now I found it very kind of like cold. I don't know. I didn't find him or Jude Law's character likable. And I think that like, no matter how horrible the situations are in a movie, somebody has to be likable in it. And I found no one likable in that.
What is it about movies of the future that are so dismal?
Well, it's kind of a tradition in movies to make not too distant future not necessarily post-apocalyptic, but dystopian. You know, we've reviewed a lot of them on here. Neiman and I have Brave New World, Animal Farm. Did you ever see Animal Farm or read it?
I've read both those books, but haven't seen either movie.
There's a couple versions of – there's three versions of Brave New World and there's
– Three film versions?
No, there's two film versions and there's one coming out. Oh, and wow. I think it stars Leonardo DiCaprio. It's in the works, which would be very interesting. And it's some – I think it's Rutger Hauer. Who directed Blade Runner? It's the director of Blade
Runner. Ridley Scott.
Yeah, it's Ridley Scott and Leonardo DiCaprio. That should be pretty good. But there's actually a version of Animal Farm. I think there was one made with – human actors or something at some point, but there's a cartoon version from 1954 that was done in England, but looks very Warner Brothers cartoonish. You know, it looks like Bugs Bunny type animation. It's really well done. I just watched it the other day. I like it.
And the sun is shining, so it's it's not like these dark, foggy, rainy, dystopian films that so you know it so often is.
But it's Animal Farm, which is you know, kind of an allegory for the Russian Revolution. And I mean, a lot of when you study it in school, when I studied it in school, which I'm sure they don't teach it in school anymore. If they do, they probably say it's about the Republicans or something. But when I saw it in school, they just broke it down of how it's an allegory for the Russian Revolution and how each character was this, you know, one was Lenin, one was Marx, one was Stalin, etc. You know, and the farmer that's bringing things in is capitalist who worked with the Soviet Union. But really, I see it as an allegory for all governments and how whenever there's a revolution, you know, they at first it's going to be, we're going to undo all the problems of the previous state. And then the revolution takes place and there's a little honeymoon period where things are blissful, maybe. And then the people who take over end up acting like the old government or worse, which is exactly what happened in the Russian Revolution. You know, it was Marx and Lenin had this idea of almost this stateless society of communism where the workers owned everything and there was no state stealing everything from them. And I don't like communism, but it was a lot purer of an idea what Marx had than what it became with the state, with under Stalin.
And so is that inevitable? Can you have a revolution that ends up the way you thought it would be originally?
Yes, and probably no. Yes, it's probably inevitable. And historically, I'd say no. You know, I mean, I think that America degenerated back into king-like tyranny with the Whiskey Rebellion, which is what, like 12 years after the signing of the Declaration?
That didn't take long.
Yeah, didn't take long at all. So we have a post that may be of interest to some listeners. It's on all three of my blogs, libertarianpunk.com, michaelwdean.com, and it's on the Freedom Fiend site. It's about how to make your own radio station for $250. And it's not something about doing something streaming on the internet. It's about a radio station, like radio, like FM, like broadcasting over the airwaves to be picked up by people with car radios and home radios, even if they don't have a computer. And it's a very interesting article. Of course, I'd never recommend anything to anyone do anything illegal. I didn't write this article. It's did I just say I wrote it? No,
it's on your blog.
Yeah, it's a guest post by Cash Newman, which is not me. So yeah, check that out. And it might be useful and fun to some people. And I have a movie recommendation for anyone who wants to see it. It's Black Metal Satanica, which is from MVD, who's the distributor who's going to be putting out our piece and who put out the Guns and Weed movie and the Hubert Selby movie and the DIY or Die movie and the Steve Diet Getty movie, all the movies I've done. Yeah, so check it out. I have a correction from last week. I said something in air and didn't correct it. I said it wrong. I said I moved to California so I could carry guns. What I meant was I moved from California so I could carry guns.
Did you get some feedback about that?
Yeah. So I just wanted to correct that. So what have you been up to this month?
Getting ready for our DVD project.
What else?
Let's see. Starting to wear shorts again. The snow is gone. We had a mild winter here in Wyoming, so it's nice to have it be springtime. And
I know. It's really nice. I dig it.
Got to work on that tan before summertime gets here.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get a tan like that.
The windowless bunker, it's probably hard to get a tan inside here.
Yeah. So did you ever see Enemy at the Gates?
I have. It's been a while, but yeah.
It's a movie where the Mosin is the hero, basically. Another, isn't Jude Law in that one too?
He is. And it's the one where on the cover of the DVD, the rifle is backwards.
Is it?
It's flipped. Yeah.
Like some art department person did that because it looked better in the context of the cover, but it's not.
And they didn't realize what side of the rifle the bolt was on.
It's not gun accurate. We're going into an ad here. If people want to call in, they can call in and we'll talk to you during the break and get you on after the break. The number is 307-215-5171. That's 307-215-5171. And this song playing in the background is Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector by Right Arm of Wyoming. Worms. All right.
SurvivalGearBags.com is run by someone who believes in and adheres.
We brought some guns for show and tell, which is kind of strange to do on a audio only show, but I got the Mosin Nagant here. That's Mosin. I think I squirted some oil in my eye. Wow. What you got there?
Got my AR-15.
Yep. Sound of an AR-15.
I suppose if Howard Stern can have topless girls on a radio show, we can play with firearms on a radio show.
That is your Ruger SP-100?
GP.
GP-100. Yeah, I have the GP-101. This is more something that would be possible to carry. The GP-101 is actually like, it's such an absurd gun. It's so, a 6-inch revolver is kind of like.
Well, in the GP series with that full underlug barrel, it's heavy.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point? Other than it looks really cool. And I suppose for a home gun, if you were to pull it on somebody, they might run away quicker if they were considering running away rather than fighting. a big scary gun might scare some people more than, you know, a Derringer.
Well, true, but then again, you're to that point of if you're drawing a gun, it's with the intent
to use it.
Lethal force. Yeah. And so considerations of the scariness factor kind of are secondary.
Yeah. It's more of a movie prop that actually can kill people.
Was that featured in Guns and Weed?
Prominently, yeah. The blonde girl was holding it a lot.
Was that the one in the unpasteurized milk guy got arrested with too?
No, she's not in that scene. I play the cop in that scene.
No. The gun. Was that the gun you were holding when you went to grab?
Yes. The milk yes. Guy? Yeah, probably because I thought it popped more on the screen. You know, that's something I've noticed about guns in movies, which is really disappointing to me. Is in movies, whenever someone moves a gun, it makes a sound of a gun racking or
kind of some like the kind of Transformers sound.
Yeah, yeah, which I think comes from. The tradition probably comes from old cowboy movies of single action revolvers of where you actually had to cock it, you know, or you had to do this before you could fire it. Let me do it right at the mic. Yeah, there's the sound. And a lot of times in movies, you see people do this with revolvers, which is actually, unless you're playing Russian roulette, there's really absolutely no reason to do that. And in movies, people just spin the cylinder and it does that, but really you have to hold the hammer back halfway to do that.
As long as we're talking about things not to do from movies, one thing you see is folks will spin the cylinder and then flick it closed.
Yeah, which is bad for a
revolver. Very bad for that. Yeah. That crane is the weakest part of the revolver. They're stout when it's all locked up, but when the cylinder's outside of the frame, that's when they're most susceptible to damage. And
good point. Let's make a note for that for the video. We'll remember that. You'll remember it when we get the revolvers out. Yep. Another thing that's inaccurate in movies is guns pretty much never run out of ammo, even when firing full auto.
I read a thing about that one time. I can't remember if it was referring to a Rambo movie or a Arnold movie where they actually filmed scenes of him reloading, but in the editing room, they cut all those scenes out because they thought
slowed
they
down
were
the action.
Boring and got in the way.
Yeah.
You start to see nowadays a few scenes of reloading. I think probably because so many folks have complained about the whole 80s action movie flaws, and B, there's a lot of military consultant influence in Hollywood. So they're being shown real tactics.
Yeah. Have you seen the Internet Movie Firearms Database?
Oh, I love that site.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Internet Movie Firearms. FIMF.
There's a high level of nerdery on that site. There really is.
There really is.
It's just IMFDB, isn't it?
Yep. IMFDB.org. That's a recommendation from the fiends or from a fiend and guest. For the day. I guess you're a fiend for the day. Fiend for a day.
I can't be all a fiend for life.
We need some callers. You're a fiend for life. You are a fiend for life.
I probably won't get a tattoo that says that, though.
You know, if you have to get a tattoo of something, it's not really in your heart. I think you get it. If it's really your something for life, it's tattooed into your heart.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah, it kind of goes along with that old biker thing of like those who say aren't and those who are don't say.
They just.
I think it was something. I think it was like something that a particular, well-known 1%er bike organization said. Boy, 1%er means something different these days, doesn't it? The 1%. It means rich people. It used to mean bikers, like outlaw bikers.
In Sturgis, you still see some of the guys you wouldn't want to mess with, though.
Yeah, you live near. They drive through here, but they don't stop here much. And the cops like to arrest them when they do, so they don't spend much time here. There was one that got arrested a couple of years ago, and I was proud of him, and I don't even know him. And he said something like he called the cop, and he could have probably just walked away from it, which I probably would have tried to do, but I liked what he did. He called the cop a Barney Fife mother F. It was pretty funny, and they threw him in cuffs, but Barney Fife, man, what a thing to call a cop. The call-in number is 307-215-5171. That's 307-215-5171.
I know Barney Fife's an insult, but the Andy Griffith model of cop is one that I definitely wouldn't
Wish they had more. Wish they had more like that.
You see that in these small towns, the lack of the Andy Griffith cop is folks will come in to be officers that aren't from the area, and you end up getting more of that us versus them mentality. And fortunately, some of the small towns in Wyoming still have cops that are locals, and they realize that. And it's not about being a big, tough, SWAT, kitted up cop. It's about being a part of the community.
That's where that exists at all still. It's usually in Western states or rural areas, not in the South so much, but anywhere it is, it's often outside of these few states around here, like Idaho, Wyoming, Utah, the Dakotas. It's generally older cops near retirement, and they're going to replace them with Rambos when they're, I don't even know if Rambo's the word, more like Vic Mackey's.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah. What was that thing in Boston's You and the Police? Have you read that?
Yeah.
He had the three types of cops. It was the good cop, the rogue cop, and I don't remember the name of them, but the by-the-book cop. Mm. Or in order from like least scary to most scary. It was like the good cop, which is the Andy Griffith type, who really is out to protect people and doesn't want to bust people just for the hell of it. I mean, if you walk by him and blow pot smoke in his face, he'll probably arrest you for it. But he's not the kind of guy who tries to get as many busts as possible. And then there's the by-the-book cop, who will never let anybody slide on anything, but also will never break the law to arrest you. And then there's the rogue cop, where all bets are off, and if you know, call him Barney Fife, he'll beat the crap out of you and sprinkle a bunch of cocaine on you and bust you for that.
And what percentage would you say nationwide we were at?
It'd be hard for me to say from experience, because I haven't traveled a lot in a long time, and I think my wife and I look kind of square to cops when we're driving by. You know, we drive a kind of square mobile, and don't have any crazy bumper stickers, and don't have green hair, and aren't blasting hip hop or rock and roll out the window. Usually, you know, we just look like a plump middle-aged couple driving on vacation. I used to get pulled over a lot more. I don't now, so I don't know. And we don't travel all that much, but I would guess that good cops are probably less than 10%, and getting less because, like I said, a lot of them are near retirement and they are not going to replace them with good cops when they retire. I would say by the book cops are probably 40%, 50%. And I would say, I don't know. I think the rogue cops are kind of rare, really. I mean, I think that there are a lot of by the book cops who, if you push them, they may like tend into rogue area, but probably not. You know, they're not going to plant stuff on you. But I'd say rogue cops are probably about 10%. But that's a pretty scary high number, actually.
With all the cops that are out there,
definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think there's more cops than ever. And there's more, like, different kinds of people that can arrest you than there used to be. And there's more of them, you know. And they're arming a lot more bureaucrats. So be a peace-loving person and carry a gun.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large...
Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com.
Can you hear when it says recording started there, Lisa?
Yeah, I think I can hear you.
All right. We have a caller. We have Lisa from Portland. How are you doing today, Lisa?
I'm doing really great. Glad to be on the show. Hello, Jeremy and Michael. I had a question about how folks feel about, well, myself is, I
I work for the government, and I'm not too happy about that, but I'm happy to have stable employment. And I'd like to extricate myself from that. But I'd like to know...
If you keep calling Freedom Fiends, they'll do it for you. Go on.
I'd like to know how you guys feel about Facebook and privacy and whether Facebook is a branch of the CIA and whether we should participate with that. And how do you advise people to get out of a status job that they don't want, but they like being able to pay their bills?
Well, it's about a 12-part question. The first one you asked... You wrote me a fan letter and said you really liked something I did about how I like schooled Stefan Molyneux. And I said thank you and talked briefly back to you on email once and then friended you on Facebook, and you never accepted my offer of friendship, which I'm really not offended by. You were kind of apologizing for that. And I'm like, don't worry about it. I understand people's jobs. You know, their employers look at their Facebook. I think it's 1,700 friends on Facebook, and I am really friends with less than 10 of them, like real friends. So I'm not offended. Do you actually believe that Facebook is a creation of the CIA? Is that what you were saying?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not certain of that.
Well, there's an Onion News video that's a joke that says that. Have you seen that? Maybe you thought it was real.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's pretty funny.
It is. You seen it?
Yeah.
I think that Facebook is not a creation of the government. I think it's a creation of that nerdy guy, Mark Zuckerberg. I think it's made by the free market, but I think the government really, really, really likes it because people have this over-confessional idea and mood on Facebook that they've never really had on any other social network. They will say things on Facebook that they wouldn't say to their spouse, I think, sometimes. I look at Facebook primarily, pretty much absolutely, as only a tool to promote freedom material that I am involved in. I could delete myself from it tomorrow and it wouldn't harm me. I'd probably go through like withdrawal for about a day. Not even very hard withdrawal. Just, you know, whenever you get in a habit of doing something, it's, you know, what happened to that when it goes away? But, yeah, we have someone in the studio here today, Jared, who has some personal experience with this. Did you go through withdrawal when you deleted your Facebook account recently?
It's funny. It wasn't withdrawal, like literal getting the shakes, but I would find myself after finishing checking my email or checking another form I'm on, I would find myself typing in Facebook or trying to go to the bookmark and realizing, oh, wait, I don't have that anymore. And the thing about it is it's all in how you use it. And this is what Facebook defenders will say. It's still voluntary. All the information Facebook has about you is information you have either given them or your friends have given them, and you haven't said no when the friends have tagged you or talked about you in one of their wall posts. And so you can, to a certain extent, control what is out there about you. I mean, just don't post, I was at this concert. Don't post, I went to this restaurant.
Yeah, it seems Facebook seems to kind of engender what's the term? Compulsive disclosure, I think, is what psychiatrists call it. You know, compulsive disclosure in person is I don't know if it's considered a mental disorder, but it's symptomatic of some mental disorders. You know, if you meet someone who within 5 minutes of meeting them, they tell you really deep, dark secrets about themselves that they wouldn't tell you otherwise, that is often a sign of a sociopathic person. But people who are not sociopathic and not damaged at all will do that all day long on Facebook where they'd never do it in person, I think. I don't know what it is. There's some kind of voodoo in the coding there or something. I mean, I'm kind of surprised Facebook's as popular as it is because they don't seem to respond to the free market very well. For instance, they change their look and feel and layout all the time and people complain about it. But they do it anyway, and they don't go back. Whereas other software companies I've seen, when everybody has an outpouring of, we hate this, they change it back or don't do it or allow you a choice. A good way of explaining this is people sending game requests, which you cannot completely block. You can block a particular game, but there's new games and new apps every day, and you can't block them universally. And Somebody sent me this.
Block the people who do.
Yeah, I pretty much do. Somebody sent me this thing the other day. It's a picture from some Tarantino movie of a guy with a gun pointed at the camera, and the caption someone put on it was, "Send me a game request again. Go ahead." And I put that on my wall, and it got 1,200 shares within a day, which is far more than anything I've ever put up has been shared, which really seems to say that people do not want game and app requests, but Facebook won't let you turn them off. And I don't even think they make money on them, but you know, it's a weird business model. It should have failed by now, but it's doing better than ever. I don't know what's up with it. But to answer your question, like I have no secrets, man. I bug my own house with podcasting. I talk about everything I do. So, but I don't work for the government, so I don't really have anything to hide. And I think that Facebook doesn't give the government any information they don't already have about me, personally.
Well, thank you so much for the call, guys.
You called us. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Did we bum her out? She sounded really happy. Maybe I talked too much. I don't know.
Well, we didn't get to her point about working for a job you don't like.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, I don't have I'm single right now, but I can imagine if I had a family to support that it would be tougher to say no to those opportunities that provide monetary and other benefits like that, but don't necessarily speak to your heart's desire.
People do strange things when they're hungry. I've heard that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling pretty full right now, so I'm good.
Good. So you're not going to go work for the government right now?
What are they paying?
I don't know. It seems like they're trying to take over every industry, though. And really, I mean, I kind of look at governments. I'm not going to pick on our government. They're all the same. To varying degrees of tyranny, but they're all making people do things they don't want to do, and they all do things inefficiently. Governments kind of act like amoebas or cancers. You know, they just kind of grow and grow and grow, and they never stay smaller. They never get smaller. And I think right now we're kind of at a tipping point. I don't mean a tipping point of there's going to be revolution. I mean a tipping point of like point of no return of to where like it's headed towards fascism, which a lot of people don't know what it means. Fascism is not just tyranny. You know, when they called Bush a fascist, I mean, he was, but so is Obama, and so were most American presidents, especially for, you know, since Nixon on. Fascism is a government takeover of the entire economy. And we're quickly heading there. We were slowly heading there. And now it's kind of like reached a tipping point where we're quickly heading there to where it's really going to be hard to protest the government or talk bad about the government because everyone's going to be working for it.
Even if you're at a fast food restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, to where they control everything. I mean, that's one of the things that healthcare will do is make everybody sort of a ward of the state. I'm looking at a squirrel sunning himself high up on a tree. It's pretty cool. You can't see. We are in a windowless bunker, but there are a couple like little rifle ports in it, and I'm looking out one of the rifle ports.
Don't put your sights on the squirrel. They're cute.
Oh, no. No, I told you. This is kind of a weird thing to say, and I probably shouldn't say it on the internet, but I think it'd be a lot easier for me to shoot a human in self-defense than to go hunting, which I don't know. I want to go hunting. I had a hunting license. And I didn't hunt anything, but I just love animals. I love to eat them too, but I don't want to shoot them. I guess I'm a hypocrite.
Well, your key word of shooting a human in self-defense, and that's the thing. An animal, if you're hunting it or if it's a squirrel in your backyard, that animal hasn't done anything to you. And so there'd be no reason to respond violently
except
to an animal.
Except it just sits there looking really tasty. I kind of feel like that's initiating aggression in a way.
If you come between a mother bear and her cubs, are you then initiating aggression towards the cubs?
Well, the mother bear will probably kill you, maybe eat you, maybe not. But I don't know. I don't think animals I don't think the word initiating aggression is really applicable to animals. I think that implies having a higher function of rational thought.
So aggression comes with consciousness.
Yeah. Animals are violent, but I don't think they, they're aggressive too in the usual sense of the word, not in the libertarian sense of the word. The phrase initiating aggression is not unique to libertarians. I mean, the Pentagon will use that term. They'll be like, Iran is initiating aggression by building nuclear power plants, which is debatable whether they're building them and whether that's initiating aggression. But that term is not unique to us. They use it too. They. The royal they. There's the royal we, and then there's the royal they. We're going into a break here.
Hey, Cliff, yeah, have you
I think
heard
we're in a break.
All right.
That got a little good.
Yeah.
Have you been looking for a safe, scenic, and inspiring place to live free? We chose Wyoming. Wyoming is the home of Free State Wyoming and the personal choice of Boston Tea Party, as well as the setting of his book, Moulin LaBaye. Bring the family and stop by for the 2012 Free State Wyoming Jamboree for 4 days of camping, shooting, and barbecue. There'll be trading, hiking, a raffle, and plenty of activities for the kids. Admission is free for those under 18. Entrance and 4 days camping is $15. It's only $15 more for the barbecue and beer on Saturday. Visit freestatewyoming.org. There's even a one-day handgun course led by Boston. The handgun course is extra. The Jamboree is June 28th through July 1st in the beautiful Black Hills of Wyoming. Join us to explore our favorite area of the country and see if our choice might become your choice. That's freestatewyoming.org. See you there.
About the pigs doing any raids on the pigs lately.
That's pig on pig crime.
Pig on pig crime.
Yeah.
So what you got today there, Lou?
Well, it's a beautiful day. I started out by going down to the shooting range and shooting the 9mm pistol and the 9mm carbine rifle. And I was smart this time. I didn't drink a whole pot of coffee before I went down there because it has a tendency to mess up accuracy. And I took the AR-15 out on its maiden voyage. I'm going to have to get a higher ramp for the scope. It's too low. It's uncomfortable. So I didn't do too well with that. And then I wrapped up the outdoor shenanigans with going over to the grocery store. I got red raspberries, blackberries, strawberries, and some dodgy looking blueberries all in one shot. So that's freedom right there. I mean, that lets you know that you're in a good place.
Shooting guns, because eating berries. Nice.
Yeah.
It's a good day, man.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that you couldn't get this stuff out of season, but thanks to this wonderful thing called capitalism, you know, I can get these red raspberries, which I love. We only have like a 2 week season here in Michigan for them, but we get them in from Mexico, and they're only a couple bucks a container.
Yeah, people don't realize how many things they consume every day that are made all over the world. Not just every electronic thing being made in China, but like, you know, different nuts and fruits, and they don't grow in America, or they don't grow here much of the year. Capitalism's good. Real capitalism, not the kind we have where it's all government funded and regulated. That's not really the free market.
Phony crony capitalism. Well, if you go back to like 1800, you know, the one thing that the king and a peasant, the president and a slave in the field all had in common is they all had to use a chamber pot at night and throw it out the window.
On the peasants.
Yeah, it didn't matter how much wealth that you had, you could not get on a plane and go to Cancun.
Yeah.
Nobody could.
Yeah.
And now we're in a spot where you can go on, you know, the different travel sites to find, you know, cheap deals and go to Cancun, you know, to where, you know, lower income people can afford to do this once a year, take a long weekend.
I remember Southwest Airlines kind of like opened up air travel to non-rich people a long time ago. They were kind of like the Greyhound bus of the air.
Yeah. And Spirit Airlines too.
And they also have the best safety record still, right? Southwest?
What's that?
Southwest also, do they still have the best safety record? No crashes?
I'm not really sure.
I know they're the airline where somebody was like, somebody got up and was talking about hijacking the plane and they tackled him, which I don't know if that would happen. Probably would now, but you know, unlike some business plane, I don't know. It was just a bunch of like rough and tumble kind of like everyday Joes, and they tackled the guy and laid on him until they landed the plane.
Yeah. Now, if you'd had some good old country boys in there, they could have taken ties away from the businessmen and hogtied it.
I like
it. So it lets you know there was a bunch of city slickers on there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and going back to like in 1800, if you lived up here in Michigan or over in Wyoming, you were not going to get fresh shrimp. It just did not exist.
We have two sushi restaurants. There's two sushi restaurants in Casper, and they're pretty good. So, yeah, they say that raw fish is not something you want to eat when you're more than a day's drive from the ocean, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, we've got overnight delivery. That's all you need.
Yeah. FedEx.
Yeah, you can UPS it, FedEx it, whatever. And it's still affordable to where regular people can buy it. So if I may quote Hayek, F.A. Hayek, you know, capitalism created the proletariat, not because anybody was worse off, but because there was no way for them to exist without capitalism.
I can hear birds out your window. What kind of birds you got there?
Just regular Tweety birds. We get some blue jays and some cardinals running around.
Tweety birds and putty tats.
Yeah, I'm looking at a cardinal right now.
I didn't feed my birds today. I feed them every day. When they go through about a whole quart of bird seed a day in the backyard, and I did not feed them today. You know why, Jared?
Why is that?
Because today, tomorrow, and the next day, in the afternoon and evening, we're going to be out there filming you using unloaded guns, showing gun techniques. We're going to do loaded guns out in the sticks, but then we're going to do some shooting in the backyard here, and the less birds there are tweeting while we're recording, the better the audio is going to be.
I thought we could do like a Cinderella thing where the birds come and land on my shoulder while we film.
We do that in post-production.
Nice. Digital birds.
Yeah.
Lou, did you
want to... You pop off a couple shotgun rounds and the birds will disappear.
I think... neighbors might disappear and then the cops would appear. We're in town here in this windowless bunker.
Oh, okay.
We're okay. Four stories below town here in this windowless bunker. There's a little shaft that we can fire out of if we need to, but...
All right. Yeah, I'm on the observation deck / sniper's perch of my windowless bunker.
Polar opposites then.
I don't think you have a windowless bunker. I think you are outside, aren't you? Or are you inside near a window?
I have a screened in balcony.
I thought maybe you were in a windowless bunker with an observascope with audio feeds.
Lou, did you want to comment on the previous caller with the
about the internets,
Facebook, and working for a company that?
We never got around to her. Like, have you ever worked for a company that you wouldn't work for?
Oh yeah,
given
yeah.
the choice over again.
Yeah, how would someone get out of that? How did you get out of that, or how would someone get out of that if you have people to feed?
Well, what it comes down to is you basically have a set of options. And if you are somebody with a family that you have to feed, then just flat out quitting and jumping ship without a life raft is not a viable option unless you've got some money saved up and you got a bunch of survival food in your prepper pantry. But realistically, if you're in a situation like that, because I think she was saying that she worked for the government, federal government.
She didn't specify what type of government, but...
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, anyway, realistically, if you hate it that bad, you need to, find another job, look around, see what's out there, and you may have to take a lower wage to do it, but, it's kind of like if you have a job where your boss is a jerk and you just can't stand working for that company anymore. It doesn't matter if you're working at McDonald's or UPS or the government or whatever. If the job is driving you batty and it's affecting your mental health and stressing you out, then you got to go.
One thing I think people create a false dilemma for themselves in all or nothing approach. They say, I hate my job, but I can't quit because I have a family to depend on me. So therefore I'm going to work at this job and be miserable. But there's 24 hours in a day. You're only at work from 8 to 10 of them. And I think if people stop trying to define themselves through their job and stop trying to believe their job, their 9 to 5 must give them passion. You can have passion after you get home. You can have passion pursuing your hobbies, spending time.
I'll say something along those lines that I have experience with was, I always wanted to be self-employed doing something creative. I mean, since I was 12, and I didn't start making any money doing anything creative really until, well, I did it for a little while with a band. I mean, I was in bands from the time I was 14 until, my last band broke up. My last good band broke up when I was, 29, and I was in a couple short-lived bands after that, but I don't really count them. They weren't really serious. But basically what I'm saying is I had to work a day job and then work 8 hours a day at night at home on my creative stuff for like a decade before I started to make a living at the creative stuff. And I've made a living to where it's my only living now doing creative stuff for about 12 years. So it's not that easy and overnight to find something you really want to do, especially if it's all on your terms like that. We're going into an ad here, and do you want to stick around there?
Yeah, I can hang around for another segment.
Free all right. Baklava from Mandrake. The Freedom Fiends. The Freedom Fiends. All right. So we're talking about this weird alcohol there, guys.
Yeah, it's this new aerosol spray that gets you drunk for 5 seconds, and then you're back to normal. It comes out of France. I don't know if that's a surprise or not. Or
I predict it's going to be a hit with kids, and then Schumer is going to outlaw it in America, if it's even legal here. It's French. Probably won't be legal here.
Well, I think Chuck Schumer likes the Frenchies.
Well, Chuck Schumer is kind of a communist, so, or socialist, so yeah, maybe.
I guess it depends on the medium of how it gets you intoxicated, kind of like the definition of a firearm being a projectile that's ignited by, you know, a chemical reaction. That's the reason why coil guns would be legal technically, or why black powder guns are legal, because the cartridge isn't a self-contained chemically fired explosive. So if this aerosol spray, you know, does it count as alcohol?
Well, it says you can pass a breathalyzer after it, so I don't know. I wonder what people in AA are going to say about it, because I would say it's absolutely a relapse if it gets you drunk even for 5 seconds. But I could see people in AA trying to – people that aren't good practicing AA in AA using this and saying they're still sober.
Kind of like
– You there, Lou?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, sorry. I think Schumer would support it in the state of Pennsylvania. I don't know if it's still this way, but that last time I was in Pennsylvania, if you wanted to buy hard liquor, you had to go to the state-run store to purchase it. You couldn't just go down to a local party store or liquor store.
Talk about like the fallout of having lost the Whiskey Rebellion, which was in Pennsylvania. The state now controls the liquor there.
Washington State's the same way.
Washington, President Washington was the problem in the Whiskey Rebellion, him and Hamilton.
Yeah, and you would expect that Hamilton, because Hamilton was a hardcore statist. Now,
Hamilton is why America is the way it is now, pretty much.
Yeah, Hamilton hated the central power of Europe because he wasn't running America at the time.
He was jealous.
He says, I'm the only one that gets to tyrannize my countrymen. So piss off, you know, king and queen. I mean, essentially is how it comes down to. And when you look at this whole idea of a state, it's the choice of, you know, who you want to dominate you more. And something I'd like to go back to that Jared mentioned, when it comes to the job, you have this, like you said, the false paradigm of, well, I hate this job, but I got to feed my family. And you're absolutely right. If you hate that job, if it's stressing you out, if it's making your hair turn gray, fall out, whatever, giving you diabetes, testicular cancer, you got to get out of there. And you do have 24 hours in a day. You can put out applications online. You can go around to different places, and you may not get the same wage that you were getting. You might not have the same benefits. You might lose, you know, the things that you do have going for you. But ultimately, are you better off sticking with something that makes you miserable and makes you want to eat your gun?
Yeah, I think in a bad economy, sometimes people buy the line about no one can find a job, and they they internalize it and it becomes true. Like NEMA quit a good job, which a lot of people consider a good job, because he didn't like being an arm of the state anymore. He wasn't working for the state, but he was working on the news and he was propping up the state with their propaganda and couldn't really do any real news, even if it fell in his lap. He quit that job and got another job that actually paid more, that didn't crush his soul. In three days, you know?
Yeah.
And he's not particularly – the job he got wasn't particularly skilled. You just had to be smart to do it. But it's a job that a lot of people apply for. It's a company a lot of people want to work for. And he got a job in 3 days. This was like, you know, a year ago. So I don't know if I believe the you can't find a job. I think it's something the media tells people and they believe it and they give up.
What is all BS? All right. And I guess I'm going to come out of the closet here. I do work for a government agency.
What?
Okay. I'm not going to mention which one it is.
They're all the same. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't even care what government you work for. They're all the same.
It's your homeowners association, isn't it?
They're the worst, man. That's the worst tyranny. Is it it's like now we have like the UN, the federal government, the state, the county, the town, and then sometimes the homeowners association. You know, in California, someone tried to break into our house, which is why we ended up buying guns and becoming libertarians. And it was really dark on the back of our house, the window they came in, and I bought a motion sensor light. I still have it in my basement. I've never hooked it up. They wouldn't let us hook it up. We had to get permission to put a light up on a house we owned, and it took 9 months to get permission after someone tried to break in. And it took 9 months of, like, you know, increasingly dunning, we're going to sue you letters. And finally they came out and did it and paid for it and did a great job with it. But by then we'd already decided to move to Wyoming and we're looking elsewhere.
Well, that's what you get for asking permission.
Well, if we just put it up, they would have taken it down. Our neighbors put up a garden without permission. And 4 days later, the gardeners came and ripped all their flowers out on a house they owned.
But that's a case where you have to have the Green Bean Rebellion.
Well, it's a case where, although actually, it's a voluntary thing to sign a homeowner's agreement. Although I'd say it's not a real contract because the terms of it change with year to year. But you're also signing a contract that says it's going to change with the whims.
Yeah. Well, I still think Hassel Doctrine should have the supremacy clause in that regard. But going back to the job search, all right, I work with a lot of people. I'm an employment specialist, and my job is to help them get back employed and get back into being self-sufficient. And out of the people I deal with, maybe four of them are going to be real serious to semi-serious, and they're going to have a good shot at it. Okay. Out of the four that
four out of really how many
work hard, four out of 10.
Okay. Sorry.
They're going to put forth a solid effort. And then out of that four, you know, two of them are going to, really bust their chops really hard and they're going to do what it takes to get employed. And the job that they get might not be the best thing that, you know, that they could get, but when they've been unemployed for a long time, it is something. But the number of emails that I get from different partners out there saying, we have these openings. One guy, he just blows up my email box with all these different job postings. Hmm. There are plenty of jobs out there, but here's the thing that people do not do. And I'm going to go off on a preachy little liberation fix here. If you're sick and tired of working for a boss that's just a plain old a-hole, you got to go out and start your own business. That way, when you talk about your boss being crazy, you know, you can just brush it off. And what we have is people are not willing to go out and take things into their own hands anymore.
And I'd also say if you, every boss you have is an a-hole, maybe it's you. I've heard the term. If you meet more than three a-holes in a day, chances are you're one. We're going to go into a break here. And thanks a lot for calling there, brother man. Call in again sometime. Thanks,
Lou. All right, worms.
Worms.
Yeah, I've known people like that who every person we work for is a Yeah. From Hell. It's like
American Revolution 3, isn't it?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that.
Unintended consequences.
It's more because it definitely is primarily about the gun culture issue. And so I wouldn't call it full-scale revolution, but more just returning to some of the way it used to be in terms of our gun rights and access to things.
I kind of like that there's an AR-15 sitting here, like leaning up against the desk that we're casting from.
It really ties the room together.
It really does. I don't own any of those because I just think they're really statist guns, which is a ridiculous concept. I mean, a Mosin is a commie gun, but I'm not a commie and I love Mosins. And I guess I'm a hypocrite if I say I don't like statist guns because I carry a 40 cal Glock, which is what every Fed goon in America carries pretty much. I don't know. I'll shoot.
It's kind of like the saying, if it's stupid and it works, it's not stupid. So maybe if it's statist and it works,
there you go.
Freedom fans can use it as well.
But I like having a gun around while making media. Cause I used to say the First Amendment or the Second Amendment protects the First Amendment. And now that I'm not a constitutionalist, I say that the right to keep and bear arms protects the right to free speech. And there it is. I guess they could drone us though.
We could be droned.
Yeah. I kind of think they're going to quit going after guns as much as they used to now that they can drone people.
Because what can a gun do against a drone?
Nothing. The other day, some Fox News libertarian, I think it was Judge Napolitano or somebody said something like, the first American who shoots down a drone because it's getting too close to his kids in his backyard is going to be an American hero. And I'm like, you probably don't know much about guns and drones, if you can say that. Drones fly at
they're way up there.
24,000 feet or something. Yeah. And you can't even see them. They can see you, though. In Soviet Union, airplane watches you. It's kind of like that. Yeah.
Well, but the drones have to land somewhere.
Not anywhere you could hit them with a rifle, probably. They probably land in the middle of some base in Nevada where, you know, the government owns the land for about 60 miles.
That's a long shot.
Yeah.
I don't think the Mosin could do that.
I don't think there's any hope to shoot down drones. I think the only hope is to educate enough people about the non-aggression principle, which might be a pipe dream. I mean, that forum we were talking about a minute ago kind of thinks that education is a pipe dream, or at least the movers and shakers on it do. They think that the time has passed. And a lot of people think that the time has passed. And there's people who think there's this line in the sand, and if they pass it, we're going to use our guns. And I'm like,
well, whether you think the time has passed or not, it's kind of like we mentioned earlier in the show about the cycle of revolutions and how they never quite end up living up to the ideals of those who start it. That doesn't mean it's not a good idea. It doesn't mean people still shouldn't try to make the world a better place.
And definitely, so, definitely.
Just because drones and the society that exists, you know, the state of society that allows drones to happen and become a reality, just because we're living in that now doesn't mean we shouldn't try to make it better.
Yeah. I mean, I would, if I gave up having hope, I would give up.
Right.
Like cease to live. I mean, I don't think I'd kill myself, but I would probably just not get out of bed and, become really unhealthy and die. You need hope.
Well, that's good, right? And we're not depressed now, are we?
No.
Right.
No, we're realists, man.
Yes.
We're realists. And we're going to have fun with guns. We're going to have fun with unloaded guns in my backyard today and then fun with loaded guns tomorrow and the next day.
Here in the
somewhere.
Hopefully Casper is not as windy as it often is.
It's looking pretty non-windy right now. I mean, the leaves on the trees are twitching a little bit, but I can't feel it shaking the house, and we can sometimes here.
I remember the first time I came down here and a restaurant had a concrete retaining wall in front of the entrance. I knew I was in a windy place.
Yeah. Yeah. So do we have any more callers here today? Hello. 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 I can see that there are a lot of people listening. The call-in number is 307-215-5171. That's 307-215-5171, or Skype to username kittyfeet1.
Is that one the number one or O-N-E?
One the number. Nice. So what do you want to be when you grow up there, Jared? I'm not sure what I want to be yet.
I used to want to be a detective, but I grew out of that.
What would you detect?
Crime.
You mean you wanted to be a cop detective or a private detective?
When I was little, I didn't associate detectives with cops. The whole
It's weird how that works.
Columbo, yeah. Pink Panther type stuff to me was separate from a guy with the badge.
Yeah. Like Columbo seemed like one man who worked alone, but he was a detective for the LAPD
right.
in that show. Boy, we're showing our age if we know who Columbo is here. I watched a Columbo on reruns recently. I was like, oh, I loved that when I was a kid. I'll watch it. And I watched it and I was like, man, this is slow and square. I want to go watch The Shield or Training Day.
So Matlock probably doesn't hold up either?
I don't remember Matlock. Was he the old guy?
He was a defense attorney.
He was a lawyer, yeah. Was he the old guy?
Yeah, the white hair.
I remember one episode of his, and in it, he is playing acoustic guitar and singing, and he's playing a Jethro Tull song. It's an episode where the mystery is there's a killer who was basically a star who'd run dry of ideas. So he'd hired some unknown songwriter who was really good to write his next record and was going to credit him for it and pay him for it. And then once he delivered it, the songs for the guy, the famous singer murdered him and said he wrote the songs and didn't pay anybody. But the songs, they had the songs in it and they were Jethro Tull songs. And, there was one where Matlock was like reading music on a music stand and strumming an acoustic guitar, and he was actually playing and he was singing, and it was a Jethro Tull song. I thought it was interesting.
That's how he got into the case. Immersed himself in the material.
Exactly. Yeah. He was one of those, police procedurals. Those are weird, or lawyer procedurals. I think the first police procedural was, Adam 12.
What's a procedural?
Instead of whodunit, it's like a lot of times they show at the beginning of the show the crime being committed and you see who committed it, and then it's backwards from there of how the police solved
it. Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
We have a caller on the
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Yeah.
Fiend phone.
Hello, Fiend. What Fiend is this?
This is Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy. Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm in Ohio. I called a couple weeks ago.
Oh, what's up?
The only reason I called, I was doing dishes, and I heard you talk about Matlock. and it made me, and I never watched that show, but it made me remember in the old Simpsons when they were trying to tear down their nursing home to build a bridge, and all the old people were fired up and angry, and then they said they were going to name it the Matlock Bridge.
Yeah.
And they're all fired up and excited.
Yeah. If I'd remembered that, I think we would have gotten off Matlock, because that's basically saying that octogenarians are the only people that like Matlock anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, there is a status bent to that one too. It's like you can get people to do really stupid things by giving them a little chip of something they like, calling the highway the Matlock Freeway for old people.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Did they get their special lane
for the wheelchairs? I heard someone say the other day that all we need to do politically is wait for all the old people to die off. Like, for instance, if they took a vote today of only under 45-year-old people, pot would be legal tomorrow.
I disagree.
Do you? You think?
I hate to say that. I mean, Joe Rogan says that all the time on his podcast.
Yeah.
And I talk to so many. I'm not that old. I'm in my 30s. But it's like I talk to so many people, and just they get brainwashed. And I kind of was, too, like about pot and stuff. And then...
Hey, we're going into an ad here. Do you want to stay back for the last segment afterwards?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, cool. Worms. I said, we were yakking during the break, and I said, let's see if we're back yet. And I said, oh, we're back yet. So,
were we recording just then?
No, we are now. Okay. So, yeah, talk about Ayn Rand or whatever you guys want to talk about.
Well, actually,
we were talking about Matlock.
The under 45 vote would have pot legal tomorrow.
Oh yeah, I just don't see it. I talk to so many, you know, mostly people like around my age, and it's the whole left right thing.
How old?
I'm 33, but I think it's just the whole left right thing. Like, people are just, oh, pot to bed, and I try to tell them, is it any worse than alcohol, really? Is it? And most people then will say no. So you only have it viewed as with a negative connotation because the government tells you it's illegal.
I've met people who smoke pot who think it should be illegal, which is kind of weird. The worst statism of some of I've heard about drugs hypocrisy is a lot of recovering heroin and speed and coke addicts in meetings say like, yeah, I'm so glad it's illegal. I mean, I wrote a letter thanking that judge for saving my life by sentencing me to prison. And I'm like, really, dude? Wow. Take some responsibility for yourself there.
Oh, the other thing today, and this is just because I'm looking at it, is I bought new gas cans, a 1 gallon and a 5.
What are those new caps?
They're the worst. And there's these stupid little PSA type things on the front of them that basically say, "I saw a kid whose face was burnt off."
Do I have to go buy a new gas can now?
No, you can't buy the old stuff.
Okay, I have one for my snowblower.
They're terrible. Basically, you get cramps in your hands by using them, and they're more dangerous because you have to use, and twist around like a contortionist.
And interestingly, at the same time, the EPA is removing the requirement and maybe even outlawing, but I know they're removing the requirement for those things that seal the gas cap at the pump, the thing that goes over the end of it.
Those accordion
things? Yeah. They don't have to have those anymore because most cars have a thing that prevents a lot of fumes from escaping, but I think that they're actually mandating that they don't have them anymore, which is going to cost everyone a lot of money.
Yay.
It's kind of like how eggs are good for you, eggs are bad for you, depending on the decade.
And which part of the egg.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing, too, is have you guys seen that video? It's on YouTube, called School Sucks the American Way. And do you have an opinion on that if you have seen it?
I haven't seen it, I'm sorry.
Nope.
Yeah. You should check it. It's basically probably stuff you already know. It's about how the American education system's the Prussian education system.
Right.
And just to basically, it draws parallel. And I know it kind of scares people off because it draws parallels between why the Nazis rose to power to this. But it's an interesting video. It's by the guy who, he's got a School Suck podcast. His podcasts are pretty interesting.
Nice.
So he had one that was about 20 minutes long, and it basically pointed out Mitt Romney's NDAA answer during one of the debates. That it was like a 2 minute answer, but he had 25 logical fallacies in it. It was pretty awesome.
That's got to be some kind of record.
I don't know. Go listen to politicians. Maybe not. So,
but, it is pretty amazing how they are able to speak so long without saying a thing.
I told my father-in-law because he was talking about it. He just wasn't excited about anybody during the Republican nomination. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, it's not that, in my opinion, it's not that they're terrible. They've always been terrible. It's just the access to information with the internet is they can't really hide from anything anymore. So to a certain extent,
we're better able to realize how terrible everyone is.
Yeah. It's not like when, Abe Lincoln was doing whistle stops on the train.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I get down, but.
So this movie JFK, you ever seen JFK?
No, I've been meaning to.
The basic premise of it, it's a really complicated, bizarre, great movie, even if it is made by an actual communist, Oliver Stone. But it's basically the thing is, like, it doesn't matter who killed Kennedy, it's why they killed Kennedy, which basically explains who killed Kennedy, which comes down to, like, the military-industrial complex killed Kennedy because he wanted to get us out of Vietnam and didn't want to invade Cuba. I believe that. I think that's it.
I believe that. I wouldn't see why they wouldn't. So I'll watch that. It's on Netflix. I've been meaning to watch it for years.
It's an amazing movie. It's incredibly twisted and complicated, and I think it's probably got like more edits and more characters in it than any movie I've ever seen, and it still works.
Hey, have you guys seen the beginning? This is, I don't know.
Idiocracy?
It's just funny. Well, that's a great beginning, but it's just the beginning of Iron Man 2. Have you seen that?
No, but I have worked with Robert Downey Jr. He did narrate one of my films.
Name dropper.
Yeah, I know.
You don't have to. Yeah, don't have to watch the whole thing, but just watch the first like 5 minutes. And it's basically the Senate calls Robert Downey Jr. and Tony Stark in front of for a hearing, just basically to tell him that the suit's too dangerous, so the government should have it. And he basically just tells him to piss off and make fun of him.
I think Downey might be a libertarian now. Unfortunately, I can't get in touch with him. He was in our movie through a friend of a friend of a friend, and I would love to interview him if he's listening. He's probably not, but he did an interview recently with some big magazine where he said, like, you know, now that I've been to prison, or now that I've been to jail a bunch of times, I'm no longer a liberal. But he didn't say what he was. You know, I think the only two choices are probably either libertarian or Republican, and I just can't see him as a Republican. I think he's a libertarian now based on that interview.
With his life experiences, he seems like a pretty intelligent guy. I would be very intelligent if he weren't.
And I don't think that going to jail would turn anybody into a Republican. Oh, going to jail for drugs.
Yeah, that's I don't know. He's pretty great though.
He actually went to jail for guns and drugs one time. Yeah. Gotta be a libertarian. He's into guns and drugs.
That's the definition, right? I don't know. Seems there's a movie about that.
Yeah, I think that part of the idea for that movie came from this quote of, like, somebody said, like, it was this thing, this essay called I Hate Your Politics, No Matter What They Are. And it began with, like, 49% of Americans are Democrats, 49% are Republicans. The other 2% just want their guns, drugs, and brothels. Here in America, we call them libertarians.
It's pretty funny. I was at lunch with some coworkers about a week ago. And they were talking about, one of them was railing about how the government sucks and it's terrible and they're all bad, they're all stupid and this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, so why don't we just get rid of it? And he's like, oh, we couldn't do that. We couldn't do that. And I'm like, well, you just said they all suck and they're terrible. So what do you suppose we do? You know, it's just not many people can make that leap.
Well, he started down the right path anyway.
Yeah, but some people are just caught in that paradigm.
I think more and more people are making that leap, though, and I think Ron Paul had a lot to do with it, even though he is a statist in the literal sense of the word. He believes in some state, or at least he does on the surface. I think he's going to come out as an anarchist after he gives up politics. I really do. That's my prediction.
I'm really excited whenever this whole election thing's over to see what happens, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I wish him well. I'm disappointed that I'm really shocked that more people didn't catch on. I guess I shouldn't be, but I don't know.
Yeah,
we almost had Santorum win ours in Ohio. I was getting ready to move. So
yeah, he scares me even more than Romney or Obama, I think. Well, at least more than Romney, because he's so driven. Romney seems kind of like a lazy rich kid who just is buying the election, whereas Santorum seemed to really believe everything that was coming out of his mouth. Santorum's not a flip-flopper either. He adamantly believes that, you know, gays should be put before the firing squad and that, you know, selling a joint should be punishable by death.
Did the funny thing about him is there were people that would that were going to vote for Ron Paul, but they either liked him or they didn't like one of the other two, so they voted for the other one. And I was vote for the one you like.
That's weird.
And then there were people that were telling me that like Ron Paul, or that their relatives like Ron Paul, and they're like, well, he doesn't have a chance, and Santorum does, so they're going to vote for him. I was like, the two couldn't be further apart. They really couldn't. They couldn't be further apart. And I just don't understand how people could even draw any comparisons.
There's also people that would vote for Ron Paul, except he's not willing to kill enough brown people. They could even look past the he wants to legalize drugs for give heroin to school children. They don't mind that. Like they mind it.
If he were for the war, he would have a very good chance of winning.
It's scary, man. It's scary. His son is basically him who is for the wars, which is weird.
That's why I don't like him.
Yeah. Well, he's different in other ways. I don't like to, but
he's better than most, but I don't trust him. So
he's just like a neocon that wants to legalize weed. That's what I think.
And he just has a creepiness about him. I
know he's a politician. His dad's not a politician.
Yeah, he's a real man. You know, I don't know how people can't see that. It just was really frustrating for me through that whole process.
And he recently said, when Obama said he was in favor of gay marriage, Rand Paul said, I didn't think Obama could be any gayer. I'm like, really? That's like what rednecks used to beat me up in high school used to say, things like that.
There was a really funny thing on Facebook from Taxation is Theft, where they had Obama on a white unicorn with rainbows coming out of his hands, and it basically said, let's forget, since he threw out a bone to gay people about all the deaths and all this other crap that, you know, all the crap he's done.
Yeah.
So it was pretty
well funny. We're done. We're out. The show is over.
Congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling
good having you on, man. Thanks for
and involving
calling
more than $1 trillion was
catch
available
later
to take members care, of Congress for less than 48 hours
all right
to study and consider.
Worms. Thanks, Jared.
Pages of legislation
hey, thanks for having me.
Worms. Thanks for being had.